We're going to continue our character study with different characteristics of the Christian life as we look to see how we as believers ought to be. Amen? And so if you'll take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 5, and don't forget to mark Acts chapter 5 because we'll be traveling back and forth there. Once I announce the characteristic, you're going to probably have the thought, well, duh, this is something that we should have in our lives. And it's kind of one of those things, but that's okay. We need to go over the well, duh characteristics in our lives. Well, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, please, if you are physically able, I'm going to read. You follow along in the Bible there, Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, and I'm going to read down through verse 11. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, and thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. So, you probably figured out already, because you are a wonderfully smart group of people, this characteristic that we're going to talk about today is that of honesty. Honesty. And how many of your mothers told you or taught you as a child that honesty is the best policy? You ever heard that before? Okay. Yes, amen, right? And you say, my goodness, Brother Combs, why in the world at a church with Christians, and really at that, a Baptist church, and one that says that they believe the Bible and they follow the Bible, why do we even need to talk about honesty? Because we need to be honest. Above all, we need to be honest. Hey, listen. To be upright, just, fair in dealing with others, free from trickishness, I thought that was a fun word, and fraud, acting, and having the disposition to act at all times according to justice or correct moral principles. That's the definition of honesty. You know what? We ought to be honest. I mean, really, the defining characteristic of a Christian should be that of honesty. If Christians can't be honest, who is? Or who can? This is something we must have in our lives. In our text that we read, if you go back and study what was going on, you had all of this stuff, and you know, there was this great revival breaking out in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, and thousands of people were being saved, and the church was growing just by bucketfuls. Okay, I mean, they were just growing and growing and growing and growing. And it says back in chapter 4 there, it says, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And so you had these things, and this is becoming a common practice. Now, nowhere in here do these people have to do this. They were just doing it of their own free will, and they were selling the land, and they were bringing the money, and they were, I mean, think about it. If all of us in here were to begin doing this and selling our homes and bringing, you know, $200,000 and $300,000 and $400,000 or however much homes are worth now, and laying it down here at the church and giving it to share with everybody. Listen, that would be fantastic. That would be phenomenal. I mean, a little weird and crazy, but you know what I'm saying. But I mean, there would be some appreciation. There would be some respect given to those that paid the ultimate sacrifice and gave everything. I mean, certainly. But can I tell you something? That's not the motivation. And Peter lends to that here in just a minute. But then we have this story about this man and this woman. They wanted the recognition. They didn't want to give it all. Maybe they were a little embarrassed. Let's say the land was worth $100,000. And they sold the land for $100,000. For $100,000. But they could have just came and said, you know what? We're going to give the church $50,000. And we're going to keep the other $50,000. There would have been nothing wrong with that. Peter said as much. But rather they came and they put the $50,000 down and said that was the price of the land. That wasn't honest. They lied to the Holy Spirit, really. Because you see, they connived this thing. They worked this deal out because they wanted the 100% of the recognition with only 50% of the profits. Or 50% of the price, if you will. But see, that's not honest. We just need to be honest. And live in honesty. Being upright, just, fair in our dealing with others. If you take your Bibles and turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. From the very beginning, God gives a sense of order as it comes to this thing of honesty. And so first of all, we're going to talk about honesty to others. The human counterparts that we have around us. Whether they're saved or whether they're lost. Can I tell you, it doesn't make a difference. Whether they deserve it or whether they are undeserving of it. We should be honest to all. We should be honest. You see, well, they lied to me. And? Does that matter? Oh, they were dishonest with me in their dealings, so I'm gonna give them a little bit back. And? Let me just tell you how this goes. You go to the grocery store. You go in there. Oh, I'll tell you, I'll give you one that happened to me just this last year. I went to the grocery store and I put a bunch of things in a box and I took it up to the counter and I unloaded the box and I left one item in the box. It was a bottle of vinegar for balsamic vinegar for some people like that on their salads or whatever. It was like $5 or $6 or whatever it cost. But it was in the cart, in the box. And I just didn't see it or something happened. And I get out to the truck and I'm putting the other stuff back in the box and I see this bottle of vinegar. You know what a lot of people would say? Free vinegar! Right? I mean, 99% of the people would probably do that, right? Free vinegar! I mean, I got out of the store. Nobody knows the difference. I'm just going home. No, I put everything in there, got the vinegar, my receipt, went back inside. I said, look, somehow this got missed. I need to make sure I pay for this. That's just, and then Lisa, thank you for being honest. I mean, have you ever been there and the lady gives you too much change? And you just stuff it in your pocket? And you're like, free money. Huh? No? No, you got to give the money back? You say, why do I have to? Because it's the right thing to do. It's part of the Christian character. Just doing what's right. And being honest about things. Are you there in Leviticus 19? Look at verse 9. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. What's the whole embodiment of this? Is just being honest with people. Just being honest. Hey, poor people are poor. Help them if you can. If you owe somebody something, pay it. If something's true, tell the truth. If something's false, don't tell a lie. I mean, don't spread that. I mean, you need to be. This is just how we need to deal. Just being honesty with mankind, other human beings, because God's name is not to be profaned. God's name is not supposed to be drugged through the mud and blasphemed. You say, that's what I'm doing when I'm being dishonest? Yes. Yes, you are. And that's not right. We need to make sure that we're honest to others. Acts chapter 6, verse 3 says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. What was that talking about? Oh, caring for the widows and orphans. Waiting tables. Why do these guys have to be honest and full of the Holy Ghost? Because it's the work of the church. There's a testimony to uphold. Hey, listen, we ought, and above all, we as believers should be honest. It's an important thing. Why did God put this into one of the qualifications of what we consider deacons? To be honest. Oh, they were just supposed to be servants. They're just supposed to wait tables and take care. God said through the apostles that they were supposed to be of honest report. They were supposed to be honest in their lives amongst others. In other words, other people are supposed to say that they're honest, not their own testimony. Oh yeah, I'm honest. No. You think they're honest, and you think they're honest, and you think they're honest, and you think they're honest. Okay, now they have an honest report. It's not just one personal opinion. It's the truth of it, that they're honest. In Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That just needs to be who we are. You shouldn't have to pretend to be honest or, oh, I got to be honest now. Well, what about before? We need to be honest all the time. If you're just honest all the time, then you don't have to worry about it, right? Am I being honest? You just always are. just one of those things. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. All right, you're going to have to turn faster. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation. But being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent him with the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and decoration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So as they're going through and they're ministering and going about it, they're doing it honestly, not just in the sight of the Lord, but in the sight of men. It's important to have an honest testimony. In 2 Corinthians 13, just a few chapters later, it says in verse 3, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. We need to learn to live honest. He says, not that we should appear approved. We should be approved. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to be a workman that's approved by God, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Approval comes from on high, folks. Doesn't come from me. Doesn't come from you. But it does help when I think you're honest, and when you think I'm honest, and others think that you're honest, because you are honest. That doesn't hurt. Can I just tell you? We need to learn to practice our honesty to others. We ought to be honest. In 1 Peter 2 it says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know what it says about a pastor? That he's supposed to be above reproach. There should be no question that I'm honest. No question. I shouldn't do anything that would put a question in your minds about that. Hey, look, can I just take time out? What's good for the goose? It's good for the gander. It's good for all Christians to be that way. Not just the pastor. We ought to be honest. That if somebody were to say something, it just slide right off. It wouldn't even stick. There'd be no chance of it. That's how it should be with our relationship with others. You see, Ananias and Sapphira had a difficulty. They wanted to be something that they weren't. And that was dishonest. Can I tell you something? It cost them their life. Go back to Acts chapter 5. Peter said, hey, in verse 3, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land, whiles it remained, was it not thine own?
And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Listen to what he says. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So number two tonight, not only do we need to practice our honesty to others, we need to make sure we practice our honesty to God. You know what? You say, but Pastor, God knows everything. It's futile to lie to him. Yes, it is. Then why do we? Then why do we? Hey, listen. When we're not honest with God, it's to our detriment. Because the only thing it keeps us from is fellowship. And that's a lot. When we won't be honest before a holy, holy, holy God, it only hurts me. And it only hurts you. Hey, listen. God is going to continue to be God. He's going to continue to be holy and righteous. And he's going to continue to be who he is, no matter if you're honest or not. So it's not going to affect him one bit. But it's going to affect your relationship with him if you won't be honest to God. In Luke chapter 8, the Bible tells us, but that on the good ground, or the parable of the seed and the sower, he says, but on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Can I tell you something? Your heart naturally is not good. It naturally is not honest. And we need to be honest about that to God, so that he can change our heart in us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now listen, that's a good thing to pray for. But why? To what end? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what? When we're honest with God about our weaknesses and our faults and our missteps in life, it's going to be to our benefit. We're going to be able to be used of God because we're right with God and upright with him. We've read over and over again and heard over and over again 1 John chapter 1. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Does that sound like someone who's honest with God? Boy, I mean, to make God a liar, that's a pretty stout accusation. Or to say that we have fellowship, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But yet, time after time, mankind feels like they can do that. Remember Adam? It was time to walk with God in the cool of the day. Where art thou, Adam? Hey, Adam, where you at? Time for our walk. No, time out. Did God know where he was? Did God know what he had done? Yeah. The woman that thou gavest me, she was the one. Hey, I'm just saying, you know, You just need to be honest. You need to be honest with God. Hey, are we going to stumble and fall? Yes. Does God know that? Yes. Just be honest with him. Restore the fellowship. In Psalm 32, David says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. You know, it's not that bad to come to the Lord and be honest with him. Lord, I haven't been what I'm supposed to be, what I should be. I did this wrong. He wants us to come to him. He asks us to come to him. He receives us when we come to him. Romans 14 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. See, I'm just putting it off. I don't want to tell God what I've done. You're going to eventually. So you might as well get it over with now. False balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. You know, God has expectations of us. He just wants us to get right. He just wants us to repent. He just wants us to come to him. In 2 Samuel, David said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me. And as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him. And I have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. It kind of goes with it. You just need to learn to be honest with God. Well, lastly tonight, go back to Acts chapter 5. We see that Ananias and Sapphira were trying to kind of get favor in the eyes of others dishonestly. We see that they were filled to lie to the Holy Ghost and not be honest with God about the thing. Now look at what Sapphira did after her husband was carried out. It was about the space of 3 hours in verse 7 after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Then Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Folks, she had an opportunity. Now, listen, I know she didn't know what just went on. But she had an opportunity, thirdly tonight, to be honest to herself. Just be honest with yourself. We are sinful flesh. We just need to know that. We just need to accept that, listen, we're just sinners saved by grace. We're capable of doing things wrong. We're capable of sinning. We're capable of not following the right path. We just gotta be honest about it. In James chapter 1, the Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, sometimes we're afraid of what we see in the mirror, aren't we? Yeah. You know, I don't know what Ananias and Sapphira and their life was like. But for some reason, they connived this story and this thing because I guess they wanted the fame. They wanted the admiration of the church. I don't know what. But it didn't turn out very well for them. And neither does it for you and I when we ignore what we really are. In Philippians chapter 4, the Bible tells us, "In the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the very God of peace shall be with you." Hey, listen, we need those things in our lives. We need to meditate and think on those things because we are not naturally that way. And we need help. You know, they say one of the first steps to overcoming an addiction is to admit that you have an addiction. Can I tell you something? It's okay to admit that we're human beings, that we're sinful creatures, that we're capable of this. Hey, folks, we just need to be honest with ourselves. That when we are weak, He is made strong. Sometimes in our own pride, we're not willing to do that, are we? So we just got to learn to be honest with ourselves, don't we? In Psalm 36, verse 4, it says, "The transgression, 1 through 4, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself with his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil." Don't let that be your end. That's the natural man. That's naturally what happens to us. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burdens. Let him that is taught in the word to communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith." It's just, we need to know who we are. If we think of ourselves to be something, when we're nothing, we deceive ourselves. You know that I am nothing, He is everything. Just got to be honest about it. Hey, listen, you say, well, you have poor self-esteem. No, I'm just a realist. I know who I am. We're but flesh, folks. We're sinners saved by grace. I already mentioned that. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7? And by the way, this has nothing to do with judging people. Okay, I really hate it when people go off and, "Judge not that ye be not judged." All right, silly. Read the whole chapter, okay? All right, anyways, I just offended a whole bunch of people. Verse 1 says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye. That's a little tiny speck, folks, a little stick. But considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Do you see how very quickly that changes the context of the situation? It's not saying that we shouldn't judge, but we got to take care of ourselves first. We need to be honest about it. Hey, listen, a brother or sister in Christ might have a problem, but so do you. Don't be holier than thou. Don't be like the Pharisees and the hypocrites. And No. Listen, we have our own faults to take care of. And then maybe we can help others with theirs. Don't be so quick to judge others until we've examined ourselves. Recently, we went through the Lord's Supper and talked about this passage in 1 Corinthians. And simply, just for sake of time, I just want to mention to you that we should examine ourselves and then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Hey, we just need to learn to take care of our own business and be honest with ourselves. Just one last warning about this thing of honesty. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 through 19, this is someone who does not regard honesty as an important characteristic. This is what Solomon says. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Don't let that be you. Learn to be honest to others. Honest to God. And honest to yourself. Just a simple characteristic of honesty.